Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 13th of April, recording at 6:59 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes, but first, a quick review of the week. Global stock markets, we saw pauses in the rallies that had been occurring since mid-March for most stock markets, although Europe and the USA are doing reasonably well in here today. And government bond prices, they have sagged, particularly the UK gilts and euro bunds. And in currencies, big story here, the dollar has been extremely weak. And it's getting hit hard again today with the US dollar index down to 82.25 as I speak. And just another example, the euro up at 135.34. So, and the Australian dollar, 83.26. So, a lot of breakouts on these charts. Now, crude oil was strong earlier in the day, but has come back. And we've got the West Texas at 63.66 at the moment. And gasoline, I see, is down a little bit in here today as well. Natural gas is also down. We have seen, and overall though, I should mention, or I have mentioned before, that we've seen that Brent crude considerably stronger than the West Texas Intermediate. Now, in metals, they have remained, I was going to say they were a bit choppy. Some of them were a bit choppy. Certainly silver has been really quite choppy, but they're generally firm, and that certainly is true today. We've got solid gains here. Palladium, which had burst into life earlier in the week. Silver strong here today. Gold up $8.50 as I speak. So this is a solid performance overall, and most of the industrial metals are up. We also see wheat leading, big gains in the grain and bean complex. So it's leading corn higher. Wheat's up 23 points, corn up 10 today. And they had started to firm earlier in the week. And I think we've seen a bit of a bounce back in coffee, and although it's not maintaining today's gains, and we have seen sugar coming up off the floor. Okay, well, what's going on here, and what can we conclude? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, we have a number of short-term overbought conditions, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if we didn't get some ranging consolidation in here. I think that's exactly what we're seeing, so I wouldn't be surprised if we get a bit more of that overall. And since markets, as I've mentioned before, have been pushing up and away from those 200-day moving averages on the weekly charts, that does increase the possibility that we see somewhat bigger reactions and consolidations. We see another reasonably large reaction and consolidation. Now, the benchmark for that was, of course, what happened at the end of February and the beginning of March. Now, I don't expect anything that dramatic. That would take a phenomenal catalyst, such as China's 9% decline on the A-share index on the 27th of February. Now, that sort of thing is pretty much a random event. So without a really strong catalyst, I don't think that we would see a dramatic fall away by markets. And also, the fact that the last reaction of that size happened not that long ago, I think probably, and then those gains are all recouped by most markets, that will have steadied investors' nerves a bit. A bit. That's evidenced from the VIX index, although that too is steadying here once again. But I think that we should really be prepared to see a little bit more volatility than perhaps we became used to in the fourth quarter of last year and the very beginning of this year. And that is quite possible also because we're moving into a period which is seasonally a bit more risky or less bullish, I should really say. And again, I think we need to see a little bit more mean reversion in terms of the 200-day moving averages. But whether that next reaction that we see is sharp, although probably not as sharp as what occurred at the end of February and the beginning of March, or whether it's mainly sideways activity, I think we will see that one or the other before long, and my guess is that it will be a less dramatic downward move and more sideways ranging activity overall. If it's mostly sideways ranging, then some markets would just continue to push higher and others would just underperform and stay within some of the fairly large trading ranges that we see at present, Japan, for instance. Okay, on a longer term basis, I think how markets do over the remainder of this year, and remember, this is the third year of the US presidential cycle, and that is historically a good year in terms of overall performance. If this year is going to be an exception, we know why, because we have the subprime problem and the slowdown in the US economy, and then the other problems that were there all along, such as debt and government debt and deficits, that have made the US economy a higher risk, as I've said on many occasions before. So that could well hold it up. But as long as Wall Street doesn't start to unravel, breaking the progression of rising lows on stock market indices, for instance, then I think the damage will be relatively minor. And provided the central bank doesn't hold off too long, should interest rate cuts become necessary, and I suspect they will become necessary. But again, so we could still have a reasonable year here overall. That's my best guess at the moment, but I expect it to be a little bit more turbulent, as you know. What I'm more concerned about is looking at things that could really cause global stock markets to see more than the occasional sharp reaction, such as we saw at the end of February and the beginning of March, and that could trigger a medium-term correction, such as we saw last May and June, let alone a bear market. And of things to look for, well, you've heard me talk about them before. The one that would concern me the most would be a spike in long-dated government bond yields. They are pushing higher, so I don't think it's really dangerous at this point. As a matter of fact, they're actually a bit of a tailwind for global stock markets. But the higher yields go, the greater the risks will become in time. We've seen that throughout market history. So we need to keep an eye on that. And also, another potential concern would be if we get a spike upwards in the oil price. Now, there's no sign of that, but we've got Brent really quite close to the $70 level. Now, how many people would have expected that 3 months ago or 2 months ago? So higher oil prices will become a tailwind. They will raise further concerns about global GDP growth and of course therefore corporate profits. And a spike in oil prices is always a psychological blow. So usually it takes an accident or an act of will, such as a major OPEC cutback, to cause the spike in prices. When they first did that, it was because the US dollar was weak, and the US dollar is weak in here, as you know. And I have mentioned in the past that a weaker US dollar, provided it's gently weaker, would actually be quite favorable because most people expect it. They think that it's absolutely necessary. And the was to say they expect a somewhat weaker dollar. Where that bec and it actually creates lost my thought there for a moment, and it actually helps the U.S. economy somewhat cushion the downside. It helps the stock market somewhat as well because it makes Wall Street cheaper for the whole rest of the world, and it does increase the consolidated earnings of U.S. export companies. So a gently declining dollar is favorable. But if the dollar, for some reason or other, goes into a free fall, I think central banks would try to prevent that from happening, but they can't control everything. That would be a problem. And certainly the dollar decline has gathered pace a little bit here recently as it approaches some previous historic lows. So, no grounds for complacency here. Equally, we don't need to be standing in the window ledge either, or that's say a metaphor for we don't need to be panicking out of our positions here yet. But again, we need to be alert in this environment overall. My best guess still is that we probably won't see a bear market until we get into 2009, 2010 at the earliest. But I certainly expect some medium-term corrections between now and then. And in terms of m the next medium-term correction, some of the amber lights, well, if not exactly flashing, are close to doing so. Okay. Moving on to the long-dated government bonds, I think they're a lousy investment, as you know. Just go in and look at the charts, look at the basing activity that you will see in terms of yields, look at the topping activity, big ranging topping activity, all predicted that you will see on the long-dated government bond prices. There are too many bonds out there, too much supply, in other words. The yields are not sufficiently attractive to entice this investor at any rate. And I think people are also a little bit complacent about some of the inflationary pressures that are out there. We know that central banks such as Japan and China have been big players in terms of helping to keep those U.S. long-dated government bond yields down, but I don't expect that to always be the case. Point made. Now, the US dollar, it's still bearish and really will need some impressive upward dynamic action here to check this current slide. I don't expect a collapse. I've said that all along, but I do expect it to go lower in here. And when you get a market, when you get a momentum play, that there are certainly occasions when that can speed up for a while, and that could cause problems. It's also an opportunity. I remain short the US dollar, although not heavily so. My play on that is via the Canadian dollar. But almost anything is appreciating. Except for the yen. Yen is appreciated a little bit in here against the dollar recently, but this remains basically a soft currency, as I've said over and over again. And I don't think that that will change anytime soon, not at the Japanese interest rates, which are not going to be raised quickly. And then, as I've mentioned on so many occasions, you have a generation of monetary policy advisors and economists in Japan who were so scarred by the Endaka experience, that's the Japanese word for living with a strong yen, and the damage that did in the 1990s, that they're determined to avoid that. And as you know, a country certainly can weaken its currency if it wishes to. Easiest way to do it is just print more of the stuff. and keep the interest rates low, that also helps overall. The harder currencies are the ones with the positive interest rate differentials. Commodity producing currency, country currencies are another example. The whole Asian growth story, although those currencies are heavily managed, if they weren't heavily managed, we would see Asian currencies, a lot of the Asian currencies, much stronger. But of course, those governments don't want those currencies to appreciate rapidly and will ensure that they don't. Now, in precious metals, I think they're cheap, I think they're bullish, and I expect them to move considerably higher over the long term. This is a secular bull market. As far as the industrial metals are concerned, the same thing. Some of them have reached nosebleed levels. Nickel is an example, and I maintain that that $50,000 level on the LME price is a big psychological barrier. But more importantly, I don't expect any collapse. The worst we get from time to time, usually following accelerations, is a medium-term correction. And we saw that with copper, but look what copper's done subsequently. It's rallied back up very, very sharply. So, albeit consolidating now at the moment. And the demand for these metals is enormous. That, incidentally, is not fully reflected by the shares that mine these metals. Although they have been very good performers of late, they really can go a very long way on the upside, in my view, the miners, that is. And again, I think in a secular bull market, most of the surprises are on the upside. I really think I've been as bullish as just about anyone who has both feet on the ground as far as the industrial metals are concerned over the last 5 years or so, and they continue to surprise me by just how much they do on the upside. Again, all the surprises on the upside. Soft commodities, supply-demand fundamentals are such that any crop problems, and we will see some dramatic moves on the upside. That's in the hands of the gods, obviously. Now, in terms of demand, it's going up. It's going up in line with the synchronized growth, global growth, synchronized global economic expansion is underway still, despite the U.S. slowdown. The U.S. economy is not in recession. So consumption for all of these commodities is strong and rising. And then, of course, we have the whole biofuel business, which is increasing demand for agricultural commodities. So, again, I think supply can just manage to keep up with demand if the weather conditions remain favorable. But inevitably, for some commodities, that will not always be the case, and then prices will spike. And then we also have hedge fund and other investment interest in this sector overall, and that can create some upward pressure on prices. Well, I think that's pretty much it, folks. Still an exciting environment overall. Still plenty of profit opportunities overall, but we do need to remain vigilant in here. The Dow's up 40 points as I conclude this audio. Have a splendid weekend. I look forward to the next broadcast on Monday. All the best.